Thank you for joining us for our sermon podcast. Emmanuel United Methodist Church is located at 1351 Main Street in Welford, South Carolina. Our mission at Emmanuel states, by God's grace and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we pursue Christ to become and make disciples for the transformation of the world. Our hope is that this message will help you as you grow in God's grace, trust in the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and to pursue Christ with all you have. Now sit back and listen for what the Lord may be saying to you as Pastor Andrew delivers today's message. Thank you.
So we're continuing our series More. So we want to experience more grace. And we've looked at different things throughout. I didn't bring my little red book in with me. But the little red book, the first week we looked at prayer and how the Lord's Prayer can open us to more of God's grace, aligning us with the proper perspective of how to approach God in prayer. Last week, we skipped a chapter and we looked at the Lord's Supper and how we can experience God's love and grace through that. And today, we're going back a chapter to look at searching the Scriptures. And I'm going to be honest with you for a moment. This is the first time in ministry here. And this will surprise some of you because you know how I am. Once something's planned, you don't change it. You just don't do that. But this week, I actually considered at the very early part of this week of stopping the sermon series because I didn't feel like it was a sermon series that was wowing guests. I'm just being serious, okay? Because it's more of a teaching series. And then I experienced why I felt led to do this series 6 months ago, Tuesday night. After charge conference, after hearing all that we've done, after hearing the superintendent's words of encouragement and hope and what she sees for our church, I was reminded that right now God's laying a foundation to do something bigger in 2019. But we can't do what he's going to do. I know he's going to do it in 2019 if we don't first address some of the basics first. So you're stuck with this for a couple more weeks. So grace is defined as getting what we don't deserve. Or it's defined as being really, really bad for your parents. And before bed, you still get chocolate milk. You win the prize. And somebody loves me because somebody provided the pastor one too. Today we're going to do things a little bit different. We're going to be in the fourth chapter of Luke's gospel, but we're just going to stay there. And we're going to address a little bit at a time instead of doing the whole formal reading at one time. And the reasoning for that is I think that's what we do so many times is we rush through Scripture and we don't sit in it long enough to allow the Holy Spirit to actually transform us into the mind of Christ. If you're in a pew Bible, that's still on page 835. But we're going to kind of walk through it. Okay? So we're going to pray. Let's do this. We are approaching the Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each and every heart gathered here be pleasing and acceptable to you, our Lord, our Rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. So the means of grace, searching the Scriptures, it's important to remember, why did John Wesley think this needed to be done in the Anglican church that he was already serving? And we read it a few weeks ago out of the little book, and he felt that he noticed a trend. The moral laxity of the outside world had made its way into the church. And because of that, people were no longer taking things like prayer and reading the Scripture serious. That's why these became more important in the first place. So I looked up some statistics this week. In a survey published last year, it said that 30% of what they would consider evangelical Christians said that they had read several passages of Scripture throughout the year. 30%. 13% said they only read a few sentences here and there. 10% said they had read nothing. Multiple other studies show that over 80% of modern day 2018 Christians never open their Bibles unless it's Sunday. So I got to thinking about my grandmothers. I don't know when they read the Bible because I don't remember ever seeing them do it, but I remember them telling me the Bible all the time. So if they were telling it to me, they were reading it somewhere, right? And I started thinking again, how in the world have we gotten to a place to where we can call ourselves Christian, but we'll never open the Word of God? So today, that's what we're going to do, and we're going to look at it little by little. So please join me in verse 1. It says, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan where he's just been baptized and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread. Jesus answered him, it is written, one does not live by bread alone. One does not live by bread alone. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. If it's been 40 days since I've had something to eat and I've got the power to turn something into bread, I'm about to make a feast. That's a joke. Y'all would do the same thing. He's hungry. Like, he's long past being hungry. It's been 40 days, and the devil says, if you're so good, if you're really who you say you are, make yourself something to eat out of those rocks. And Jesus quotes Scripture. So he goes all the way back to Deuteronomy. He goes back to the Torah, to what all the Jewish people would have known. He goes back actually to Deuteronomy 8:3. And in our modern translations, this is the subtitle. It says, a warning not to forget God in prosperity. Did you hear that? Don't forget God in your prosperity. And so Deuteronomy 8:3 says this, he humbled you, God humbled you by letting you be hungry. Then by feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors were acquainted, in order to make you understand that one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Let's look at verses 5 through 8. So then the devil, not giving up, led him and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, to you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I can give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will be all yours. Jesus answered him, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. In our English translations, this is the subheading when you go to Deuteronomy chapter 6, where Jesus is quoting from. Caution against disobedience. Boy, Jesus might really be speaking to us today, right? In our culture, is prosperity and disobedience. I'm going to let you chew on that. I'm going to get back to preaching. Caution against disobedience. It says this, the Lord your God you shall fear, him you shall serve, and by his name alone you shall swear. Then he continues in verse 14, do not follow other gods, any of the gods of the peoples who are all around you. Does it sound a lot like our climate and our culture we live in? Verse 9 picks up. Then the devil took him to Jerusalem. It's the holy city, right? So now he's taking him to the holy place, and he has said this. He placed him at the pinnacle, at the highest point of the temple, and he says to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, because it is written. What's Satan doing? He's tempting him through Scripture. He's quoting scripture to Jesus. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hand they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against the stone. And Jesus answered him, it is said, or it is written, depending on which translation you have, do not put the Lord your God to test. So if you jump into the English translation that we have, it's still in that same section about caution against disobedience. And it says these words, do not put the Lord your God to test, as you tested him in Massah. You must diligently keep the commands of the Lord your God and his decrees and his statutes that he commanded to you. Do what is right and good in the sight of the Lord, so that it may go well with you, and so that you may go in and occupy the good land that the Lord swore to your ancestors to give you, thrusting out all your enemies from before you, as the Lord has promised. Three times we see Jesus is tempted. Three times he returns to the Old Testament Hebrew scriptures that he's been taught since he was a young boy. Jesus is offered in the first one temporary pleasure. And I've already admitted, if it's been 40 days and I have the power to turn those stones into Krispy Kreme, the hot now sign's going to be on for a long time. But Jesus quotes, it's not just on the bread alone that we live. And I started thinking, how many times in our life do we settle for the temporary pleasures of the moment? We know that there is a desire, there is a hunger in our hearts and our minds, but instead of turning to the Word of God to fill it, we'll let these little things satisfy it, these little Band-Aids. They'll satisfy us for just a little while. And just like every addiction, just like every way of life that is not centered in the gospel of Christ, it runs out. And then you need more of it. And then you need more of it. Jesus is offered all the material things and all the prestige. You can have all of this. You can have it all. And Jesus says, worship the Lord your God only. Israel struggled with idols. All throughout Scripture, they would go in the ways of God. They would get confident because they were doing well. And then they would turn and do things their own way, and they would create these idols to worship. Our culture is full of idols that we worship. We give them a greater priority than we do that of our relationship with Christ. We will do countless other things because they're important to us, and we won't open God's Word. And I shared this morning with the young adults, Stacy and I have time during the week, and in this moment, in this time, we're watching TV together. Y'all thought I was going to say you read Scripture, didn't you? Because you thought, well, he's the pastor. That's what they do. They sit around and read Scripture together. We put the kids to bed. We look at each other. We say, we love you. Now, please don't talk for 2 hours while our shows are on. Right? Just don't speak. We won't miss our shows. There's not many people that held a ticket yesterday that missed their kickoff. Not many of us have picked up God's Word since last Sunday either. But Jesus is tempted a third time. And by this point, I'm thinking, if you continue to doubt who I am, I'm going to be pretty upset. Because Jesus probably could have done this, and then what Satan's trying to tell him, in doing this, you'll probably honor God because it's going to prove who you are. And Jesus says, I don't have to prove myself to you, because it says not to test the Lord your God. And I think sometimes with our lives, how often do we test God to see what we can get away with? See, I'll live in this sin for so long because it's okay and I'm getting by and nobody knows because I still come to church and I'm still a good person. But how miserable are we inside? We're so far removed from worshiping God like he deserves that our lives don't look anything like that of Christ. So if you want to deepen your faith, if you want to experience more grace, if you want to be who you claim to be, we must follow the example of Christ and begin searching the scriptures like it's important. You see, it's in a deeper search that makes them apply to your life. Now, if you're married or a parent or a grandparent, this applies to you. Have you ever been told in a minute to go look for something? Hey, go look for yellow puppy. Stacy does that while I'm watching my shows. Didn't we just agree not to talk during our shows? But now I got to go find yellow puppy. How many times do you think the husband finds yellow puppy? None. Once or twice when it's in the middle of the floor. But I'll do this, right? I didn't see it. It's not in there. Guess what she'll do? Did you look under the couch? No, why would I look under the couch? She goes searching for something that I went looking for. You see the difference? We go looking to God's word for a quick fix. What he wants us to do is slow down and search into his word. John Wesley says this about searching the scriptures. He said, the goal in reading is for one purpose, to know and do the will of God. The more you search into Scripture, the more you realize who God is and who then you've been called to be obedient to. Elaine Heath, the lady that wrote our book, says this, the goal in searching the Scriptures is that we increasingly bear the love and grace of God to our neighbor because God's Word has become alive in us. And I get it. There's a lot of us here today going, you know, he's right. That reminds me of my grandmother. And then there's some of you going, he's right. I'm tired of being the only one around here that reads my Bible. But then there's some of us we're going, Andrew, that's kind of like old stuff now. That's old. Like, I have a devotional app. It comes to my phone. It's in the cloud. That's good enough. Matter of fact, that's your job to read the scripture to us anyway. John 1:1 says this. In the beginning was the Word, capitalized W, and the Word, capitalized W, was with God, and the Word, capitalized W, was God. You can't claim to be somebody who's going to become more like Jesus. We can't say as a church, we're going to pursue after Jesus and become more like him. And he's the living word of God, and we won't pick it up and read it. My favorite, because there's so many, you can't just pick one, but this is my favorite. It doesn't have to be your favorite, it's my favorite. It's Easter morning, and Jesus is walking on the road with two people back to a village 7 miles away to Emmaus. And they're downtrodden, and they're, are you the only stranger from around here? They killed Jesus, and he was going to be the Messiah, and Jesus is listening to them. They're telling Jesus that Jesus has died, and Jesus is standing right beside them. So here's what Jesus does. It says in Luke 24:27, then beginning with Moses, we're going way back, right? And all the prophets, he, Jesus, interpreted to them the things about himself in Scripture. Jesus said, but you know this, right? And you know the prophet said this, right? And then basically he looks at him and he says, I'm who they were talking about. All of this is about me. We can't proclaim to follow Jesus and not dive into the Word of God that is pointing us to Jesus. Have you ever moved into a new house or gone to a hotel and you got to get up in the middle of the night and the lights aren't on? It's dangerous, isn't it? If you're in a home with children, you're going to step on a matchbox car, a train, or a Lego. I make you want to meet Jesus instantly. But if you're somewhere you're not used to being, even somebody's home that you live, like you may have to cut on a light or get a flashlight because you never know that dresser might be right there and you're not used to that dresser being there. But do you know what's happened? We've been in our house long enough now. I can get up from my bed and I can get anywhere in the house without cutting a light on. Why? Because I'm used to it. I know where my things are, right? But when one thing gets out of place, it's a disaster waiting to happen. When one toy gets left somewhere it's not supposed to be. Some of you learned this probably as one of the first verses you've ever learned. Psalm 119, 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Now, if I wasn't so lazy and I just picked up a flashlight, would I ever have to worry about what I was going to run into? No. God gave you a flashlight so that you would never have to worry about what you run into. That's good preaching. I don't care if you stare at me or not. That's good. I didn't even write that down. That's good. As a teacher, one of the most frustrating things for me was when a student would come turn something in and they did the exact opposite of what the directions told them to do. And I was the type of guy, if it said don't do this and then you did it, I'd throw it in the trash, make you start all over. And I know you're like, God, you're a mean teacher. Read the directions. Here they have wasted all this time doing it wrong. And I gave them the directions. They were just too lazy to read. Y'all know where I'm going with this. I see some of you smiling. He gave you directions, and we're doing it all wrong because we're too lazy to read the Word of God. So I want to close with this. I mentioned earlier that the whole story of the Bible is about God's redemptive work through people who would grow closer to God and then grow away from Him. Verse 13 of our scripture today says, when the devil had finished every test, he departed for a more opportune time. He's never done. And so therefore, we can never become complacent with who we are in Christ. We can never become complacent with who we are as a church. So after all the excitement that was this week at Charge Conference, what I've learned, what has been kind of stirred in me, is maybe when we become complacent, that's the opportune time for the enemy to come back. So over the next couple of weeks, I want you to be praying about what your goals for our church are. And the last Sunday of November, we're going to turn those in together, and we're going to pray over them. And all I'm going to ask that if you submit one, that you would stay faithful to pray for it, to read Scripture over it, well, and maybe fast over it. I lost you at fasting. We'll get there next week. And then in next November 2019, we're going to blow them up and we're going to stand here and check them off one by one because God's going to be faithful to do them. Amen. Amen.
We hope this message encourages you in your walk with Christ. We would love for you to join us for worship at Emmanuel United Methodist Church, where becoming and making disciples is more than just a mission statement. For more information, you can visit us at emmanuelumc.com or you can find us on Facebook at IUMC Welford. God bless.